All right.
We are.
First Corinthians chapter 2.
Really?
Yes. We did get to chapter 2. Yeah. I actually skipped over. I skipped over some verses in one. Not. I didn't skip, but we didn't. We didn't dwell on those. But
you got to the finish line.
Right. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we are in chapter 2. And just a reminder, since we're getting it, sometimes you can go through a lesson and it can be so long that you might forget the aim. But when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he's writing to a carnal church. Carnal means worldly, fleshly. They were more concerned about worldly things than spiritual things. And what Paul had to do, and if they rejected him, he has the spiritual instructions from the Lord. You do know that when Paul writes, it is, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, what is spiritual?
And we have the Holy Spirit in us.
Your believers. He says, let him acknowledge. I like when acknowledge, I like to let him act on this knowledge. That I have the what? Commandments of the Lord. So when we, if you dismiss Paul in his writings, you're unspiritual. You might pretend to be spiritual. You might go through the activity of a person that looks spiritual. We won't call a name, but there's you know, people might say, I know this is bad teaching, and I want to get to somewhere where I can get good teaching. Well, whose choice is that to make? It's our choice. You think God is going to drag you over the head, pull you out of that place, pull you down to another place? If you acknowledge this, then you realize that this is where I should be. Or this is what I should be exposed to. Now, you think about this. Here we are. What is this? 10 by 10 building? Room? Can you imagine somebody says...
Oh, 10 by 20 or maybe.
Where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? And you said, oh, we go over to Grace Bible Study over on... What's the street?
Virginia. I forgot.
Virginia. And you drive and people, you know, they're looking for the big edifice, right? And you turn the corner, like, where are you going? We're going to the building. And they pull in, like, the unspiritual mind would think what?
It's not church.
What is this? That's, but if you can get past what the world says the church is, then you know what? You might just go in and get a blessing. Right? Because God is not what?
In the
building. Right. As pastors would say, he's not in the brick and mortar.
Yeah.
We're the church. Like Jenny said, we're the church. When we come together, we could be in Burger King. Mm-hmm. Couldn't we?
Yeah.
Or wherever. But because we're carnal, carnally minded, we have to go here. We have to go
for the big building.
For the big building. Right. And one thing we know now, we should know, is God is not in the numbers business, that is. You believe that?
Yeah.
You think about it, where the Lord left earth, how many did he leave?
120.
And they weren't in a building either. They were in a house waiting. 120. He didn't get the job done, did he? Not according to the system. The carnal mind would count, and he didn't get the job done. And the greatest Christian you know that you read about, Paul, when he left, how many did he leave?
I don't have an idea.
But none stood with him at his first.
Titus, Timothy, Luke, a few stragglers, Onesimus. But the main thing he says, all men what?
Forsake
me. This is the man who founded the churches, who gave them the information, who had the information that would strengthen them in the Lord, in what God is doing. And if they left him, that means they left what? If they left Paul's writings, that means they left
the church.
They didn't leave the church.
They left Christ.
The truth.
The truth.
Which means they left who?
God.
Now we don't. That sounds harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. Where you think, okay, if God has given you a set of instructions, and you know it's from God, and he gives it to a man to give to you, and you tell that man, I'm not interested in that. Hold your hand there. Look at this. We'll get to look at John. I believe it's 13. Start at verse 16. Now this, we will borrow this. This is a principle from John. You know, all scriptures given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine. So we're trying to get some information out of here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. You ever hear this? You guys talk about Paul all the time. You're making too much of Paul. All you say is, Paul, Paul, Paul. Verily, this is Jesus. This is red letters. If you got a red letter Bible, this is red letters, which means what?
Come from Jesus Christ.
Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. In Paul's writings, he says over and over that I'm the what? Servant of
Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm the servant. So if he would say that somebody would say, Paul, you're greater, you're making yourself greater than the Lord, what would he say? He'd say no. He'd say the servant is not greater than the Lord. The Lord is greater than the servant. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Who sent Paul?
Jesus Christ.
So Paul is the less, right? Okay. 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture, that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Now this is the Lord is talking to his 12, and one of them is about to betray him, and he's just told them that. And he's telling them that, he says, that you might know that I'm him, that you can trust me. So when I send you, you won't have any problems. You know, if you got a problem with the authority who sent you, you may not carry out his will. If you have any doubt at all about the credibility of the person who sent you, you may not do what he wants done. Am I right? If I send you somewhere and you have a little doubt, I'm not even sure he knows what he's talking about. When you get there, you won't be persuaded, will you? And they say, who sent you? Well, Brother Frank. And then you go to thinking like, well, maybe he wasn't right. Remember we talked about last week when John was in prison?
Yes.
And he had to sin back. And he said, this is John, the Baptist. He said, he sent him back. He said, go ask him. Go ask the Lord. Is he the right one? He had doubt. Didn't he?
Right.
So what about us? Look at the verse. He said, verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Now plug Paul in here. Let's see here. "I say unto you, he that receiveth Paul, whom I sent, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth the Father." You see that chain? Now this is the problem. This is the biggest problem of believers. I won't even say the brick and mortar church. Can I say church? You might think the brick and mortar, but I want to narrow it down to believers, because that's the church. The biggest problem is this, is we don't believe. I'm not, for the most part, I'm not grouping everybody in here together, but we don't believe that when you read Paul's writings, that you're reading it straight from the Lord. You don't believe it's God talking to you. You think it's something Paul wrote.
I'll take your word for it.
Let me give you an example. I'm included on this. Is just wrote this letter to Ed. Just wrote a letter to a gentleman who's in a situation where he's got to believe the words on the page, not what people tell him. See, if I got a letter from Mike, it's optional whether I want to take him as an authority or not, right? But if I get that letter and I know it's from the Lord, and he says, "This is what I want," then I, you know what, that takes him out of the equation, and I'm dealing directly with God. And if he says, number one, "You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing," his sacrifice was fully satisfying. Who said that? Paul wrote it, but who said it?
Jesus Christ.
And he said it to you. Yeah. You have the choice right there. What, do I embrace this or no? Right?
If you studied his word, you would know.
If you just have to, you know what? He said it. And like you said, this, is it okay, like you say, is it okay if I just want to believe it? You know, I say it's okay if I just really, really want to believe it.
Is it okay?
No. It's not. Because it only works effectually what?
When you believe it.
Right. Not if you want to believe it. That's like you walk up to the teller and says, "How much is your bill?" And it says $1,000. And you pull out the money and you hold in your hand. It's like, is it okay if I want to pay it? What do you think she's going to say?
No.
Because the people who want the money, what? Really want the money. So what about if the Lord has done so much for us and he wants you to enjoy it, do you think it's okay if you don't enjoy it with him? He's put everything on the line for us, hasn't he?
Yes.
Do you think if you say, "Well, Lord, I really want to believe it." And he said, "Well, that's okay. I'll take that." He not only wants you, he really wants you to believe it. He said this in Timothy, that God is the Savior of all men. Do you know what the next part says?
No.
Especially them that believe. You know what he's saying? He says, I've done it for everybody, and I really want you to believe it. He said, how many people are out now struggling just with the fact of being saved? working, trying, and not knowing that, you know, God has already taken care of this. And he says he's the savior of all men, especially them that believe, because they have embraced it. They are resting in it. They're not fighting what's on the page. Right? So, but this is the thing. He says, if you receive him that I send, then you receive me. And if you reject him, guess what you've just rejected?
Same person.
You've rejected the Lord. That's why he says, we quoted it, is he says, I thank God that when you received the word, that you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, that worketh effectually also in you that believe. And we have this key, and we can look at it anytime we want, as long as we want, but it's no good if it doesn't what? If it's not mixed, if you don't believe it, if it's not mixed with faith. And you could read it and say, you know, I just don't believe that. You remember that we were sitting there and there was a lady, she says, I just don't believe that you could go out and drink and do all this and be saved. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe it. Well, what about being jealous? Or what about being envious? Or what about being bitter? Wow. You think you can be bitter and still be saved? Mm-hmm. We pick out things that are tangible. Mm-hmm. You know, well, don't stop about drinking. Let's pick out something that's in you.
Gossiping.
Yeah. That's a good one. And we, you know what? I know a lot of saints with hang-ups. I'm one of them. Don't we know a lot of saints with hang-ups?
We all do.
But I would never go to them and say, I don't think you're saved.
I think you're wrong.
And that's what they can say. And that's the thing about salvation is, it doesn't matter what you think. If that man or woman has made a heart transaction, they believed enough to be saved. Now the next thing is to walk with him. Like I said, as you have therefore received the Lord, let us also walk in him. Now that's the day by day. Is, do you want it? Do you want to be? Remember the man that was at the gate where the pool in the Gospels, and Jesus came, and the man was sitting at the gate, and he was lame, and he asked the man, he says, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? You remember that?
How long was he there?
He said,
30-something years?
I think it was 38 years.
What do you think?
And you know what? You think 38 years... He could have just rolled on over in there after 38 years, right? But he says, every time I have the opportunity, I don't have anybody to help me. That's a cop out, wasn't it?
He was on the water.
He was, and that's why the Lord asked him, you know what, that's a question for today is, do you want to be made whole? That's optional. You know, you can be saved. He was in the right place at the right time, and he still sat there not delivered. And he said, you know what? How can I? I can't. I need some help. But the Lord asked him the question that, wilt thou be made whole? Do you know what? When we respond to this word, it makes us whole. Little by little. Situation by situation is, if you're in a situation, the Lord is asking, wilt thou be made? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want it? If you don't want it, you know what? It'll be like the day he said he could not do many mighty works in this city because of their unbelief. It wasn't because he ran out of power. It was because of what? Their unbelief. They didn't want it. And he won't force it on you. That's against grace. That makes sense? So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, this is what we have to keep in mind, is that he has the information that's there for our deliverance, just like for their deliverance. And if they rejected him for the carnal instructions of the world, guess who they just left? They left the Lord. So could he use them?
No.
He could, but not as effectually, because did they have the gifts? They spoke in tongues. They did all that stuff. But they were so carnal that even with the gifts, there was no joy in the assembly. There was no growth, little growth in the assembly. As a matter of fact, they had a man there, which is in the previous chapters to come. They had a man there who was what? Living with his father's wife. A believer. He couldn't have been saved. There's no way. I don't believe that. Think he could have been saved?
Sure.
The scripture said what? He was a brother. So how could he be saved and still doing that?
Baby's not walking.
What's that?
My baby in Christ ain't growing.
He's not growing. Mm-hmm. And in the assembly, were they speaking in tongues? They got the gifts? Mm-hmm. Boasting about it? Nice building? Plenty of money? Mm-hmm. God's got to be with them people, right? Mm-hmm. But he said, you are carnal. They had divisions in there. All kinds of things going on. Sound like modern day saints, mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
What's the problem?
Not growing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Corinthians. Because they're not growing, why?
They don't want to.
Because they don't want to, right? But that's why Paul writes what? The Corinthian letter. Mm-hmm. Because... And it's not just Paul writing, it's what?
The Lord.
Because look, when you got saved, you know, God has made an investment in us as members of his body. He wants to use us. And he has the information to tell us what he wants to do. You got the Holy Spirit who will enable you with this. To work it out.
Right.
All he wants you to do is... Mike. Little Mike. Come here. Come up here for a minute. I'm going to show you something. Get him. I just want to give you an example. Now, we talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'll be the Holy Spirit. All right. And he's going to be the believer. All right. Now, or I'll be the old man first. Now, the old man... I say, okay, you can go back to your seat now. Go back to your seat. Go back to your seat. Go ahead. Go ahead. What is the old man doing? Now, if he says, I want to go back to my seat, if I was an old man, say, we're going to go this way. Who's stronger?
Old man.
That's why I can control him. But as you get more information, then I'll be the new man. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say this. Okay, go out the door. Mm-hmm. What's the problem now? Is the new man wants something different? Mm-hmm. Because I'm stronger, mm-hmm. What happens? He goes. Mm-hmm. Where did he want to go as the old man? But the new man constrains him mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. Is it him?
It's Christ working in him.
That's it. By this.
That word and Holy Spirit.
Through the new man, right. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to have the right attitude towards the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, if you dismiss it altogether, he calls it transformation. That's why he said, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you, as the living sacrifice, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect. No transformation? What happens? You end up being carnal. You could be carnal 40 years old, Christian life. It's possible. I know people like that. I'm carnal in some areas. I've been saved almost 30 years, and you won't master this. But I do know who my master is. And I know that the deliverance is in the book.
And you know when you're doing wrong.
Thus, I know when I'm carnal. I know when he's winning.
Right.
Don't you? And we don't like it. But you can even be to a point where as a believer, you know he's winning and you don't care.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. You know why? Because you have turned a deaf ear. You become what Paul calls it. You become, he would say, subverted. It's like, you just become hardened towards the word. So look at Corinthians. Let's try to cover some ground here. Corinthians, and I just say that because you have to have the proper attitude towards the word of God. And he writes to the Corinthians, he said this in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I like the way where Paul starts off. He says, the previous verses, he was saying that not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty are chosen, but the weak and the base, that your trust might be not in them, but in God. If he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. See, most people, when they talk about their pastor, that's who they're talking about. The pastor. He did a great job. And what they really mean is he performed. He worked up a sweat. He hacked a little bit. Told a nice story. Good word and fair speech. But as far as the word working effectually and them having something to take home with them, they don't have it. And what the choir did good. Because they're looking at
performance.
The performance. Thank you. They're looking at the performance. And the emotions, right. It's emotional. Mm-hmm. Emotional. You know what? Who? Everybody likes singing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they?
Yeah.
But it's not a song written that can get you to heaven. It's not. But the word will. And he said this. He says, not many wise, mighty, noble. And he says, and I, brethren. He says, when I came. He says, now, he didn't pick the wise and the smart. He says, and I. And me. And when I came, he says, I didn't use excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. You think he could have told him something fantastic?
Brilliant.
Listen, you're talking about a man who says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, blameless. I excelled in the class above many my equals. I speak Hebrew. I speak Greek. Matter of fact, he said, I'm glad I speak tongues more than all of you. Do you think he could have dazzled them with his
fair speeches?
Right. Of course he could have. Matter of fact, in Acts, when they heard Paul speaking, they says, let's do some sacrifice. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Thought he was a god.
And right after that, they hit a rock. But the thing is, he could have done that, which would have taken away from what?
The cross.
He says, I determined. I knew when I got to Corinth, it was Christ and him crucified in a city where they talked about nothing but new things, nothing but things that tickle your ear. He says, I got some things to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about them. Not right now. He says, I just want to tell you about him, about what he did. Because he knew they hadn't made the connection. They got saved and then turned away from it because it was too much wisdom in Corinth. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we face? You turn on the TV now and everybody's got a new thing. When I say new thing, a new spirituality. How to get it done. How to be at peace with yourself. How to be one with the universe. How to be at peace with God. How to embrace your fellow man. Everybody's got a new 5-step program. 12-step program. Don't they? That makes you spiritual. And it had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about him and his testimony. He says this, verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says, I had to check that. He says, it's him. I just want to talk about him and his power and his wisdom. And, you know, I don't know, again, a lot of people that listen to Christian radio,
Sure.
Do you hear the power of God in those programs?
Hear the power.
Well, I mean, when you hear the messages, do you look at that and say, that's the power of God? That message, it shows me the power of God. Or does it show you his intellect? Most of it is what?
Man's intellect.
Is his intellect.
I agree.
Or he says, no.
Or his charm or whatever his thing is.
It was like, glory to God, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to chapter whatever. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's such a great thing. The Lord is such a mighty God.
He don't want you sick. He wants you rich.
And these are the things that we hear.
Right.
If you get somebody on the radio that says, listen, you can have cancer and God is still for you.
That's right.
Everything that we have is wrapped up in Christ in the cross. You can have 10 cents and be rich in Christ. You can be homeless and be rich in Christ.
But how are you going to eat?
And this is what I'm saying, is the wisdom of man turns you away from the power of God. So when you hear that, you got to know. If, like Paul said, the minute you do that, if he doesn't show you that the treasure's in Christ, that means he's robbing you of something. If he doesn't show you that it's all in Christ, that means what? He's robbing something from you. That's what he said this. He says, brother, if I preach circumcision, then is the cross, the offense of the cross, is not there. If you are justified by works, he said this, then the cross of Christ is made of none effect. If I offer you something on the alternative, that means that I've just taken away from him. Let's say this will work. This right here, this will work for you. But you can try this too. That means I'm not completely sold on this, right? If I give you A and say, now this will get the job done. And you pick it up and I say, but you know what? Yeah, take that too. And he says, hey, make up your mind. But that's not what Paul did. He says, if the answer was in the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world, then I would give it to you. But the answer is in Christ. He said, that's why when I came, I determined, this is a intellectual decision that he made, that, you know what he said in Philippians? He says, I chose this, I left this for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And that's what we need, is we need to know who Christ is today. And that's what Paul said. He said, verse 3, he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in what? But in the
power of God.
Enticing words. What is it? Just that fact means that what?
It's not God.
It's not God. If I'm enticing you,
it's you.
In Ephesians, he called it cunning craftiness and the sleight of men. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something we don't believe. The places that we go to, we don't believe that preachers sit down through the week, Friday, Saturday night, get out their Bible, get out their notes, pencil and paper, and put together sermons to trick you. You don't see, I can tell the way I'm looking. You don't believe that. Look at Ephesians. What does entice mean?
Yeah, to lure.
To lure you.
To delude you.
You know what?
Suck you in.
That means, like, if I have to entice you, that means otherwise you wouldn't what? Be coming this way. Mm-hmm. So if I'm using enticing words, I have to get you to get on my side. Paul says, I didn't do that. I don't have to do that. Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 14. He says, that henceforth he gave us gifted men, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. How do you hear teaching?
From preaching.
Where do you hear preaching?
From the preacher.
Where's the preacher?
Disciples.
In the building, in the church that you're going to, right? Okay, he's preaching, and he said this, by the sleight of men. You know what sleight is?
By the hand.
The trick of hand.
Magic.
And cunning craftiness. Where is that? Whereby they lie in wait to edify.
To deceive.
To what?
To deceive.
What's, you think edification and deception are the same thing?
Opposite.
What does edification do? What does deception do?
Deceive you.
It tricks you, right? Look, if you invest money, if I want you to invest money with me and I'm promising you a return, that's edification. If you give it to me and it's a Ponzi scheme, that's deception.
Right.
When you get it, it's gone. But if you give it to me and I'm on the legit, you give it to me and you get it back, what? X amount, fold. So he says, by the cunning craftiness and what? Sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, but the contrast is that we do what? Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's what our aim is. We preach Christ so that we can grow up. That's what Paul writing to the Corinthians, so they could do what? Grow up. So they could not be deceived. They were deceived right there in Corinth. In chapter 2, back in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, in this idea that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
So those men we just talked about in Ephesians are the ministers of righteousness. I mean, we look at them. We sit out there and think, oh, that must be a righteous man. Mm-hmm. He can speak some of God's words.
That's right. I mean, this. You know what? Somewhere along the line, preaching became
selling
entertainment. It became a business. Yeah, you know, like you might say, well, if somebody's growing up and they says, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they might think of things that, I want to be an athlete. I want, you know, this, well, no money in athlete, you know, athletics. Or, but now they think of something that 1 Timothy.
Megachurch.
What's that? Megachurch?
Megachurch.
I just, yeah, this verse might, look at 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's it. Verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He says this. If any man teach otherwise, there's that teaching again, the doctrine, and consent not to wholesome words, what's the difference between a wholesome words and enticing words?
Truth.
He said this. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are wholesome words. Not enticing words, wholesome words, nourishing words, sound words. He said this. He says, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That is, Paul's doctrine is according to godliness. You know what? That's the same as that acknowledging we were talking about. Is Paul's doctrine leads you to what?
Truth.
To godliness. To truth. To the truth. To godliness. Is when I follow Paul, I know I'm following the Lord. It's not even a question. But when I turn away from him, that's when you have all your questions. Every question that a believer has is because, I don't say every, the majority of questions that a believer has, you can bet that he's neglected what Paul said. And he's getting hung up.
Or he doesn't understand it.
Or he doesn't understand it. You know how I know that? Because that's where my hang-ups come.
Most of the reason is because he asked the question.
That's, well, but it's there. The answers are there. He said this, but he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that what?
Gain.
That gain
is godliness.
From such, withdraw thyself.
Mm-hmm. But you have to leave the church. Because that's all they do is
that's
preach
right.
That monetary gain, physical right. Gain, every gain.
Right.
That gain
godliness.
Is what?
Godliness. They preach gain is godliness.
Gain is God's way.
Oh, God, bless
yeah.
Me. That's what they preach.
Yeah. But they tell it to you in a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing you
gain. Right.
And those are the enticing words of man's wisdom. Mm-hmm. Is you leave Paul and he says, The reason why you poor,
mm-hmm. you don't have that faith.
That's you have weak faith, or there's something you're doing wrong. There's some sin in your life. There's something you. Well, who doesn't have sin in their life?
You don't tithe. That's what they say.
It's your problem.
Or you're not. But the thing is he said that supposing gain is godliness. He says, from such, withdraw thyself. But, you know what I like about it? He always gives you something on the, if he takes away the left hand, he gives you something on the right. He didn't just say, turn away. Well, what is the answer, Paul? He says, but, this is your proper attitude right here. He says, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, we lost that somewhere along the way, didn't we? I'm talking about believers.
They want more food and more raiment.
more food, more raiment, more gain. And you know what? And we pray about it. Lord, I really would like this house. Or I really would like this car. And he just told you that what?
To be content.
And you pray for it. And if you get it, what do you say?
Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless God our Father.
A lot of people don't even say thank you.
Bless the Holy Spirit.
20 years later, Lord, please help me get rid of this house.
That's right. You know what? That's like the pastor used to say, he said, if God is going to bless you, he's going to take the payment book. He's not going to bless you and you got the payments. We set ourselves up for the deception when we turn away from Paul. And so Paul, back to Corinthians, when he's writing to the Corinthians, and we're getting the practical part of it, but we also have to think about it real time, like for us, is the reason why we're carnal, just like they were, is because they turned away from the instruction. That's the beginning, is to receive it as the word of God. And then it could work. But if you don't even entertain the fact that it's God speaking to you, it can't work. You might as well be reading hieroglyphics, because you're not processing it as God's will for you. Does that make sense? So he says this. He says, I did this that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we already know from last week when Paul said what? The power of God is where?
In the gospel.
It's in him. God had made Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And everything that he focused on was focusing on what Christ accomplished on their behalf and on our behalf. You know what's going to get you back on track? You know what's going to get the Corinthians back on track?
So tell me, I don't know.
Is listening to Paul, which is listening to the Lord, mm-hmm. and believing it. You know what when he said this? He says, when they finally brought the man back in, who they put out, and they brought him back in, and he says, I know I made you sorry, but it was only for a little while. Mm-hmm. And he says, but I'm glad that I made you sorry, because now, look at you. Mm-hmm. He says, what a change of mind you had. Mm-hmm. What a change of heart you had. He says, now you're ready to go forward. because he had to shake him up and says, hey, this is God. This is God's will for you. Not just me. I know you don't like me, but this is God's will. That's what Paul, you know, he says, though the more I love you, the less you love me. He says, I can get by that. He says, but I'm giving you this because the Lord has given me power for edification and not destruction. He says, it's a necessity that I give you this. And when he goes forward, it brought about a change in them. Not him, but what? The gospel. The teaching, the doctrine. So we got to what, verse 5? We'll pick it up next week at verse 6 and try to get through. Frank.